This Bible study resource is brought to you by Preacher Man Milo, a nonprofit corporation designed for the preaching and teaching of God's holy word. It's Bible study time here at the Preacher Man Milo podcast.
And I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst. That is Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. That verse is all about what? A wall of fire all around. And that verse, that phrase, just makes me think of the year 2020, because in a negative way, the entire year 2020 has been nothing but one fire after another, fire after fire after fire all around us, right? So I'm so very glad to say to the year 2020, you've been fired. Like 2020, you are fired. We are done. We are moving on for real, for real. But we don't want to bring any strange fire with us into the year 2021. And that's going to be our focus in today's study. With that in mind, let's finish our scripture reading by focusing together on Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Here is what the Word of God says. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered strange fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came up from the presence of the Lord, consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, "This is what the Lord spoke of when he said, 'Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy in the sight of all the people. I will be honored.'" Aaron remained silent. Now, this is the Word of God, and today's study is all about proclaiming that 2020 is fire, but at the same time, making sure we do not bring any strange fire with us into the new year 2021. Happy New Year, everybody. You already know what it is. It's Bible study time here at the Preacher Man Milo podcast. Father God, we love you, we glorify you, we praise you, and we just thank you for your goodness. We thank you for your grace. We thank you for your guidance throughout the year 2020. And Father God, we also thank you even for our trials and our hardships, because they produced perseverance in us. Our faith is stronger because of this year. We just ask the Holy Spirit to have his way today, because our heads and our hearts are open, not just to hearing your word, Father God. We want to hear it, better understand it, so we can apply it to the lives that we live, not just in this year, but our entire lives, with the goal of bringing you glory. We pray together as a family in faith and fellowship around your word, and we say together, amen and amen. All right, you guys, that brings us to today's Bible study question, which is this: did you know that even though 2020 is fired, we still must not bring any strange fire with us in the year 2021. Welcome to the Preacher Man Milo podcast. I am still your host, Preacher Man Milo. And guess what? This is Bible study number 50. That is like a cool milestone, right? This is number 50. So Bible study number 50 is called 2020 is Fired, and it starts now.
Is a burning thing, and it makes a fiery ring, bound by wild desire. I fell into a ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
Fire, 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 fire. You know, this song is the perfect theme song for what happened in the year 2020, isn't it? 2020 was what? A ring of fire. Fire, everything was fire. Like the COVID-19 was nothing but fire, fire, fire. I mean, it just shut the whole world down, didn't it? Just this whole fire unexpectedly. Like, I was in love with the year 2020. Like, it was a love story, like this song that I think is the perfect theme song. 2020 was a love story. Like, I love you, 2020. 2020 vision, new year, new decade. This is going to be the year, because 2019 was so difficult for everybody. So 2020 was supposed to be great. Then we had COVID-19 that shut everything down. We had a financial collapse that shut everything down. We had so many racial divisions, right? Like, I wasn't expecting that. And then politically, who in the world would have predicted such a divisive election between Republicans and Democrats and Biden and Trump? And just, it was just so nasty and just so weird. And then Trump is the one who fires everybody, right? Like, you're fired. And he got fired. Now he like, I'm not going. I'm like, what is going on with the year 2020? It is nothing but fire, fire, fire. That song, A Ring of Fire. I'm telling you, I'm feeling that song. But the truth is, 2020 is fired. We're done with that negative ring of fire. We now got to make sure as we enter 2021, we don't get burned or consumed by fire like Aaron's sons, who found themselves consumed by a ring of fire when they offered strange fire to God. That's in Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. We're going to focus on that today. But really quickly, Zechariah, that verse that I read, Zechariah chapter 2, verse 5. I love that verse. It says, and I will be to her a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst. Now, that is a very positive fire. In Zechariah chapter 2, he is having a vision. That book is all about the visions of Zechariah. And in chapter 2, he has a vision of an angel with a measuring line. This angel is measuring the width and the length of Jerusalem. And then another angel comes out and says, wait a minute, go tell that man he doesn't have to measure Jerusalem. Jerusalem is going to be a city without walls because it's so large with all the people and animals. And then God says, I will be to her, meaning Jerusalem, a wall of fire all around, declares the Lord, and I will be the glory in her midst. God's saying, this ring of fire, this wall of fire is protection. It's glory. It's good. I like that. That's not what happened in the year 2020. In the year 2020, it was something that needed to be fired. So I just thank God for a new year, but it's so important we don't bring any strange fire into this new year. Let's read again Leviticus chapter 10, verses 1 through 3. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered strange fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, I will be proved holy in the sight of all the people. I will be honored. Aaron remained silent. So just right there, Aaron, remember, this is his two sons, Nadab and Abihu. They got consumed by fire, by offering strange fire to God. They died right there. Moses told him, this is why God did that. And guess what Aaron did? He pleaded the fifth. That's a cold time to say nothing. It says Aaron remained silent. But before we can better understand what's happening in Leviticus 10 at verses 1 through 3, I want to go over what I call perspective passages. I want to explain what that means. So whenever I do a Bible study, I usually will focus on a small section of scripture, but perspective passages give us context. We go back and say, okay, before we understand what's happening here, let's get some perspective. Let's go find some passages that support that perspective. So whenever you hear me teach, You might hear me give perspective passages. I want to do that today. So I want to go back to Leviticus chapter 8. But even before we go there, I want to see some perspective passages in Exodus chapter 4, 28, and 32. These perspective passages will help us understand this fire, 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 right? Because the year 2020 is over, and we got to make sure we don't run into any strange fire.
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. The taste of love is sweet. When hearts like ours meet, I fell for you like a child. Oh, but the fire went wild.
The fire went wild, all right. He is not lying about that. The year 2020 was nothing but a wild ring of fire after fire. That's why I'm so glad that 2020 is fired. But of course, we're focused today on not bringing any strange fire into the new year. We're going to focus on Leviticus 10, verses 1 through 3. That's where our spotlight scripture focus is today. But first, we're doing what? We're focusing on what I call perspective passages, passages that give us context. We're going to look at a few quick spots in Exodus, and then we're going to look earlier in Leviticus and finally get to our spotlight scripture. This context is going to be really quick, but it's going to help us better understand, get perspective for what's happening in Leviticus 10. So really quickly, Exodus chapter 4, Exodus 28, and Exodus 32. Let's take some verses from there just for perspective. So Exodus 4, verse 14 says this, "Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, 'What about your brother Aaron, the Levite?'" Now, the verse has more in that, but I want to ask you first, why do you think the Lord's anger burned against Moses? It says, "Then the Lord's anger burned against Moses, and he said, 'What about your brother Aaron, the Levite?'" The answer to the question of why the Lord's anger burned against Moses is found by reading Exodus 3 and 4, which is not central to our study today. So I'm not going to give you the answer, but I am going to encourage you to read Exodus 3 and 4 up to verse 14 so you can answer that question. Isn't that so cool that when you find time, you don't just have this study about the strange fire that happened in Leviticus 10, but you're also going to read on your own why the Lord's anger burned against Moses. I give you a high five for doing homework. I think it's so cool when you decide to, at your own time, not just listen to me on a podcast while you're riding in your car or washing clothes or cooking food or laying down, but when you find time, you're going to say, let me specifically read my word and figure out what's happening in this area. So high five to you who read Exodus 4. And 3 to figure out the answer to that question. And I'll give you one quick hint that, you know, we have to trust God's call and command over our lives. And this is part of why centrally there's anger burning from the Lord against Moses. But go deeper into that and then ask God how you can apply that to your call and your commitment to just trusting God's call and command on your life. Okay, good for you. But why am I bringing up Exodus 4:14 for this study? The answer is simply what it says about Aaron. It says, "What about your brother Aaron the Levite?" I'm simply establishing that Aaron is the brother of Moses, and he is a Levite. He comes from the tribe of Levi, and so I'm just letting you know that that's where we figure that out. Exodus 4, verse 14, Aaron is a Levite. Now going to Exodus 28, verse 1, here's what the Word of God says, "Have Aaron your brother brought to you from among the Israelites, along with his sons, Nadab and Abihu, Eleazar and Ithamar, so that they may serve as priests," right? So they may serve as what? As priests, right? Now, in Exodus 28, that's what? 24 chapters after Exodus 4. Exodus 4, we realize that Aaron's a Levite. And in Exodus 28, we realize that God called Aaron and his four sons. Of course, his four sons are also Levites because they're Aaron's sons. And he called them to be priests, right? So we have Aaron, the Levite, his four sons, four other Levites. They're called to be priests. And now we're going to mosey on down to Exodus 32, and we're going to focus on four verses here. Let's see. Let's do Exodus 32, verses 25 through 26. And then let's also read verse 29. Okay, here's what Exodus 32 says, starting at verse 25 through 26. Moses saw that the people were running wild and that Aaron had let them get out of control and so become a laughingstock to their enemies. So he stood at the entrance of the camp and said, "Whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And all the Levites rallied to him. All right. So now here's Moses. He sees that Aaron allowed them to do this whole golden calf thing, which is so horrible. And at that moment, Moses calls to all of them and says, "Hey, whoever is for the Lord, come to me." And who came to him? The Levites, everybody from the tribe of Levi, the Levites. There's all these tribes, and the Levites are the one that came to him. Now, remember, Aaron's a Levite, and his four sons are a Levite. They've already been called to be priests. But later in this chapter, the Levites rally to Moses when he says, "Whoever is for the Lord." And then in verse 29, it says, "Then Moses said, 'You have been set apart to the Lord today, for you were against your own sons and brothers, and he has blessed you this day.'" When he says "you," he's talking to the Levites, because the Levites, just earlier in the verses earlier, rally to him when he said, "Whoever is for the Lord." Okay, so that's our Exodus perspective. What do these perspective passages do for us really quickly? Well, we just realized that Aaron was the brother of Moses, a Levite, and God called this Levite and his four sons, these four other Levites, to be priests. But then a few chapters later, the Levites were set apart because they rallied to Moses when he said, "Whoever's for the Lord." I give you all that context because of the operative word Levite, right? You have these Levites who are called to be priests, who've been set apart because of them rallying to Moses. And guess what? The very next thing we're talking about is Leviticus, right? The Levites, the priests, right? That's what Leviticus is about. But I wanted you to see in Exodus, this gets established where Aaron's a Levite, his sons are called to be priests, the Levites are set apart, right? So that's just our context there. Now let's travel all the way up to Leviticus chapter 8. Remember, Exodus has 40 chapters in it. You can go ahead and read as many as you want, but here we are going to Leviticus chapter 8. A lot has happened, and chapter 8 of Leviticus focuses on the ordination of Aaron and his sons. Why? Because they were called to be priests, and this is the ordination, the ceremony to have that happen. So Leviticus 8, verses 1 through 4 says this: "The Lord said to Moses, 'Bring Aaron and his sons, their garments, the anointing oil, the bull for the sin offering, the two rams, and the basket containing bread made without yeast, and gather the entire assembly at the entrance to the tent of meeting.' Moses did as the Lord commanded him, and the assembly gathered at the entrance to the tent of meeting." Now, notice how this verse starts off. It says, "The Lord said to Moses." Do you see that? That was a big part of Exodus. It's just as big, if not bigger, a part of Leviticus. But notice how in Exodus chapter 4, the Lord asked Moses about Aaron, his brother, the Levite. And then we read in Exodus 28, the Lord said to Moses to have Aaron and his sons as priests. And then in Exodus 32, the Lord said to Moses to set apart the Levites. So much of Exodus, much of Leviticus is about what the Lord told Moses to do and Moses fulfilling it. Now, in chapter 8, the Lord told Moses to bring Aaron and his sons for the ordination of them to be priests, because we remember back in Exodus 28, God called Aaron and his sons to be his priests. Now, before we get to Leviticus chapter 8, the first seven chapters of Leviticus is really all about what the Lord said to Moses, commanded to Moses, instructed Moses as it relates to sacrificial offerings, you know, offerings to God. So Leviticus chapter 1 is all about the burnt offering. Leviticus chapter 2 focuses on the grain offering. Leviticus 3, the fellowship offering. This would be a really deep, intense study to get into the different offerings and how they, you know, mean something today and all that kind of stuff. But Leviticus 3, the fellowship offering. Leviticus 4 focuses on the sin offering, and that actually continues to Leviticus chapter 5. Leviticus chapter 5 talks about the sin offering and the guilt offering. Leviticus chapter 6 is more about the previous offerings, like it summarizes burnt grain, guilt, sin. These different type of offerings came with different instructions that the Lord said to Moses that Moses had to follow and teach Aaron and his sons to follow as well. Leviticus chapter 7 is more on regulations for the guilt and fellowship offering types. And then, you know, chapter 7 also is about eating fat and blood is forbidden. Talks about that and talks about the priest's share of the fellowship offering. So a lot of information about like the guidebook of how to present offerings to God, what to do, what not to do. That's really what's happening in Leviticus 1 through 7. And then, of course, we get to Leviticus 8 where there's going to be, you know, the ordination for Aaron and his sons. But let's go ahead and read the very last verse in Leviticus chapter 7, verse 37. So verse 37, closing out chapter 7 of Leviticus, says this: "These then are the regulations for the burnt offering, the grain offering, the sin offering, the guilt offering, the ordination offering, and the fellowship offering, which the Lord gave Moses at Mount Sinai in the desert of Sinai on the day he commanded the Israelites to bring their offerings to the Lord." So as we close out Leviticus chapter 7 and we paint a picture of perspective with our mind's eye, we realize a lot has happened since Exodus 28. Remember, Exodus 28 verse 1 was when Aaron and his sons were called to be priests to God, his priests. That's what happened in Leviticus 28 verse 1. And so much happened since then. We had the golden calf. We had, you know, the Levites being set apart because they rallied to Moses when they said, "Who is for the Lord?" And so much has happened. And then in Leviticus, a lot has happened, right? Moses has been given the instructions of how to proceed and all the regulations regarding so many different types of offering. The burnt offering is different than the grain offering. The sin offering is different than the guilt offering. The ordination offering is different than the fellowship offering. And so from chapter after chapter, Moses is getting all this information finally. He gets all the information in chapter 8, starts off saying, "The Lord said to Moses, bring Aaron and his sons their garments." It's time, right? The anointing oil, it's time. It's their ordination. The bull for the sin offering, the two rams, and the basket containing bread made without yeast. And then he said, "Gather the entire assembly at the entrance, the tent of meeting." Why? Because it's time for the ordination of these priests, these Levites, in the book of Leviticus. Verse 4 said, "Moses did as the Lord commanded." Of course he did. That's what Moses did often. "And the assembly gathered at the entrance of the tent of meeting." So now the entire assembly is there to watch this ordination. And it says in verse 5, "Moses said to the assembly, this is what the Lord has commanded to be done." Now, in chapter 8, even though it's the ordination of Aaron and his sons as the priests, Moses is doing all of the priestly duties because he's, you know, setting them up. He's doing this installation process where they're now going to become the priests, but Moses is doing most of the stuff in chapter 8. Really quickly going, again, these are context passages. We're looking at perspective. Just like we did with Exodus, we're finding perspective before we get to Leviticus 10. So in chapter 8, going all the way down to verse 34 through 36, the word says this: "What has been done today was commanded by the Lord to make atonement for you. You must stay at the entrance of the tent of meeting day and night for 7 days and do what the Lord requires, so you will not die, for that is what I have been commanded." So Aaron and his sons did everything the Lord commanded through Moses. So basically, at the end of the ordination in chapter 8, Aaron and his sons were commanded by Moses to stay put, right? To stay at the entrance, the tent of meetings, day and night for how many days? 7 days, which means the 8th day they can leave. That's exactly how chapter 9 starts off. Exodus chapter 9, verse 1 says, "On the 8th day, Moses summoned Aaron and his sons and the elders of Israel." So now it's all complete. The ordination is over. And now Aaron can be the leader to do most of the priestly duties or all of the priestly duties. And that's what's happening in chapter 9 really quickly. Verse 15 says this: "Aaron then brought the offering that was for the people. He took the goat for the people's sin offering and slaughtered it and offered it for a sin offering as he did with the first one." So I'm just pulling out a scripture here to show that now it's Aaron. In chapter 8, it was Moses, But now Aaron is doing the priestly duties and all the responsibilities with the offering. In verse 16, it says, he brought the burnt offering, he meaning Aaron, and offered it in the prescribed way. So Aaron is doing exactly what he was told, what he was prescribed by Moses, which Moses got from God. Verse 17 says, he also brought the grain offering, took a handful of it, and burnt it on the altar in addition to the morning's burnt offering. So burnt offering, right? Talking about fire, 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 fire. So basically, as we look at chapter 9, Aaron is now doing the priestly duties. He's doing what he's supposed to do the way he was taught, the way he was showed. Chapter 9, verses 22 through 24, then Aaron lifted his hands towards the people and blessed them, and having sacrificed the sin offering, the burnt offering, and the fellowship offering, he stepped down. That's actually verse 22. So Aaron did what he had to do, followed the rules. He stepped down. Good job on day one. Verse 23 says, Moses and Aaron then went into the tent of meeting. When they came out, they blessed the people, and the glory of the Lord appeared to all the people. Fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed the burnt offering and the fat portions on the altar. And when all the people saw it, they shouted for joy and fell face down. That's pretty much how chapter 9 ends. Now, notice how when this fire comes from the presence of the Lord and consumes the burnt offering, it causes the people to shout for joy and fall face down. It doesn't cause them to be scared or alarmed. Why? Because the supernatural fire of God and the presence of the Lord, that's nothing new to the Israelites, right? I mean, these are the same people who were supernaturally freed from slavery through the plagues, right? Supernaturally, the parting of the Red Sea. These are people who are used to the supernatural power of God. So to see this happen, this was something that made them praise God with joy, not with fear. There was no fear in seeing this fire consume at the altar, but things simply change in the next chapter because it's the next chapter we get to our spotlight verses. Now, what did we do? We went from Exodus and looked at the Levites being called as priests. We looked at Leviticus and saw how Moses got instructions for seven chapters. And then in eight chapters, he ordained Aaron and his sons. In chapter 9, Aaron did what he was supposed to do, and everything worked out great. The fire of the Lord supernaturally came and consumed the burnt offering. It caused the people to fall and shout for joy. But then we turn to chapter 10, and chapter 10 is our spotlight focus, and that's where we see what happens with strange fire. Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them, and added incense, and they offered strange fire before the Lord, contrary to his command. So fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses then said to Aaron, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored. Aaron remained silent. Now, here we are again, closing out with our spotlight scriptures, Leviticus 10, verses 1 through 3. But for the most part in this study, we haven't focused on these scriptures yet. We've been spending our time on what I call perspective passages, gaining perspective, a better context of what's happening here, what led up to Leviticus chapter 10 and this event. Really quickly, let's summarize what this perspective has been so we can then figure out, okay, Milo, what can we glean from Leviticus 10, 1 through 3 about not bringing strange fire into this new year, 2021? Why? Because 2020 is fired and we don't want to bring any strange fire with us as we enter into a new year, a new season as we continue in this new decade. So here's what the perspective passages have given us so far. We've learned that Aaron is a Levite, and we also learned that Aaron and his four sons, which this would make five Levites, they were called to be the priests of God. That happened in Exodus chapter 28, verse 1. In the very next chapter, Exodus 29, God had Aaron and his four sons consecrated as his priests. Consecration, to be consecrated, means to be declared as sacred, to be made sacred. God is holy all by himself. When he sets you apart for his purpose, you are consecrated, right? You are made connected with him. He's holy. You're sacred now. And so that happened in Exodus 29. Of course, Exodus has 11 more chapters. I think it was Exodus 32 where the Levites were set apart, because when Moses said, who's going to be here for the Lord, the Levites rallied to Moses. And that's important. Why? Because we see over and over in Exodus, the Levites were called and set apart and were priests. And that should help us understand why the book is called Leviticus, right? It's the book about the priesthood and the rules of the priesthood and who's been ordained as the priest. And it's the tribe of Levi, the Levites. So this is Leviticus. And we even got perspective from Leviticus. We realized the first seven chapters of that book is simply God saying to Moses what the prescribed duties are as far as the priestly duties, specific to offerings, various kind of offerings, burnt offerings and guilt offerings and fellowship offerings and just different kind of, you know, grain offerings, all of the prescribed duties, specifically how to do things, right? And then in Leviticus chapter 8, Moses now manages the ordination ceremony for Aaron and his four sons, these five men who were called to be priests. It's now the ceremony to bring them in. And Aaron actually doesn't do the duties, but Moses does. Moses does everything. Why? Because he's managing the ordination ceremony. But then in chapter 9, Aaron, it's his turn, right? Now he's been ordained. The ceremony is over. Now he's the head of the priesthood, if you will. And it's his job to follow the prescribed way to do all of the sacrificial offerings. And guess what? I think it's chapter 15, but definitely in Leviticus chapter 9, Aaron does everything in the prescribed way. It works out perfectly. Everything goes wonderful. The people scream for joy. They bow face down. But then we turn to chapter 10 and everything messes up because Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, took their censers, put fire in them and added incense. And they offered, meaning part of the sacrificial offering, they offered strange fire before the Lord, which was contrary to his command. Of course, the verses go on to say they died before the Lord because they were consumed by fire. Now, the first thing that comes to mind is what was so terribly wrong that they did. And I'm sorry to disappoint you, but the honest answer is the Bible does not make that plain. Sometimes the Bible is explicit and you have to research it and find it out. Sometimes we have implications or things that aren't directly answered. So if you want to know what exactly did they do that was so wrong, like were they drunk? They come in drunk, and since they were consecrated and holy, the reason why I bring up drunk or alcohol is because later in Leviticus, it talks about alcohol. But was it that they were drinking? Was it simply that they didn't do things the way that a holy God told them? They were, you know, focused for 7 days, set apart, and they actually got consecrated and learned all the prescribed ways. Here, what are they doing? They took their censers, put fire, and added incense. Like, was this not prescribed? And God was like, you're a priest. You've been set apart as holy. You just did your own thing. The Bible doesn't spell it out for us. But what the Bible does make plain, which I think is what God wants us to know, is what went wrong in a general sense, but in a very clear sense. And the answer there is what went wrong here is that something went awfully wrong with the anointing of these two men, these men that have been consecrated, that have been anointed to be, you know, God's priests. And God is holy all by himself. And when a holy God, when you're consecrated for a holy God, you're anointed by a holy God. When something goes wrong with your anointing, then it's horrible. So it's a good reminder that when we're anointed by the Spirit of God, we're in his family, we're connected to him. We need to make sure that we do things in the prescribed way, right? Let's look deeper into why I say that. I'll give you the reason why in a moment. But really quickly, it says here, Aaron's sons, Nadab and Abihu, they offered strange fire before the Lord. Now that word strange is translated differently. In the King James Version, it's strange, you know, strange fire. But in other versions, you'll find two other words. One word is unauthorized fire. And another word is profane fire. So you could say they offered unauthorized fire before the Lord, or they offered profane fire before the Lord. Now, this word profane is not how we use it today. Today we say profane is like profanity, something that is very disgusting. But in the Bible days, the word profane simply meant like common, like God is holy, set apart, sacred. But profane is something common that's not holy, shouldn't even touch God, right? So you shouldn't look at it like we use it today. In fact, I think of Shakespeare. When Shakespeare used it in Romeo and Juliet, I had a play in the 8th grade, And I remember this line. I don't know why I still remember it. I guess Romeo had some good lines. But this is what he said. Romeo said, "If I profane with my unworthiest hand this holy shrine, my gentle find is this, my lips two blushing pilgrims ready stand to smooth that rough touch with a tender kiss." Go ahead, Romeo. Romeo wasn't playing. He was trying to get a kiss. But what he was saying there, if I profane with my unworthiest hand this holy shrine, my gentle find is this. He was saying, if I profane, meaning if my common hand, which is unworthy to touch your holiness, if I were to touch you, your face with my hand to try to kiss you, my lips are like, what do you say? Blushing pilgrims. He ready to kiss that girl, right? But the point is profane and holiness, profane things were not worthy to touch holy things. So in a romantic way, he's saying, if I profane with my unworthiest hand, you, this holy shrine, right? So anyway, that helps us understand that profane was used to say, I'm just common. I'm not worthy, right? And that's the point. So when it says they offered strange, unauthorized, profane, common, unworthy fire before the Lord, it also says that this fire was contrary to his command. Now, let's just slow down, hold the phone, and focus on that for a minute, because that is exactly where our answer is to see what happened here. It says that Aaron's sons offered strange fire, meaning unauthorized fire, before the Lord that was contrary to his command. Now, to offer something strange, or said differently, unauthorized, that simply means I've offered you something, God, that you didn't command. It was not commanded. But the scripture goes further. It wasn't just strange in the sense that it was not commanded, but it was contrary to his command. That means you did the exact opposite of what I told you to do. Here you are called by me, consecrated by me, and you're doing not just something that I didn't authorize, but the opposite of what I said to do. You can't do that before a holy God, right? Now, what was this contrary thing they did? What did they do that wasn't just so strange? You know, I hear the word strange, and that makes me think like, wow, it was so strange. But that word means unauthorized, right? Profane or common, not worthy of holiness. But what was contrary to the command of God? That is the central focus here. And that's a perspective passage I've been holding back from you. That's actually in Exodus 30. Let's go there now. Now, really quickly, remember, it was Exodus 28 when Aaron and his four sons, these Levites, were called to be God's priests. Remember that? Exodus 28, verse 1. And then it's the very next chapter, Exodus 29, where these called priests were consecrated as priests, you know, declared as sacred for God's purposes. But it was the next chapter after they were called, after they were consecrated. That's Exodus 30. Let me read for perspective this passage that is found in Exodus 30, verse 9. And here's what the word of God said to these consecrated and called priests. "You shall not offer unauthorized incense on it, or a burnt offering, or a grain offering, and you shall not pour a drink offering on it." Let me read it again. "You shall not offer unauthorized incense on it," right? You shall not. My command is you don't offer unauthorized incense. And what do these two sons do? They take their censers, they put fire in them, and they add unauthorized incense, and they offer profane, strange, unauthorized fire before the Lord. That's not just strange and unauthorized, but it's contrary to what God said about incense. So what happens if you're going to dare take your anointing, your call, your consecration before God and do the exact opposite? Well, fire came out from the presence of the Lord and consumed them, and they died before the Lord. Moses, of course, talks to Aaron. Aaron just watches his sons die and remains silent. And they say here, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, "Among those who approach me, I will be proved holy. In the sight of all the people, I will be honored." And of course, Aaron remained silent. Now, to support what Moses said, this is what the Lord spoke of when he said, let's just go over some passages. Exodus 19, verse 22 says, "Even the priests who approach the Lord must consecrate themselves, or the Lord will break out against them." That's way back in Exodus 19. Exodus 30, verse 29. Remember, this is the same chapter about the altar and the incense. Exodus 30, verse 29 says, talks about anointed oil on the items in the tabernacle. It says, "You shall consecrate them so they will be holy, and whatever touches them will be holy. And the very next verse after that, verse 30 says, anoint Aaron and his sons and consecrate them so they may serve as my priest, to consecrate them. So here they are being consecrated after they were told what not to do with strange, unauthorized incense, and they did it anyway, right? Going to do what they want to do. Well, they learned that day, didn't they? Leviticus chapter 21, verse 6 says, they must be holy to their God and must not profane the name of their God because they present the food offerings to the Lord, the food of their God. They are to be holy, right? Remember, God said he's going to be proven as holy, right? And he will be honored in the sight of all the people. They honor God. He was proven holy on that day. Do not profane my holy name. This is now Leviticus chapter 22, verse 32. Do not profane my holy name, for I must be acknowledged as holy by the Israelites. I am the Lord who made you holy. So God is all about holiness. He's all about you following his commands, especially when he calls you and consecrates you. You got to be like Moses. You got to be like Aaron. You got to do things in the prescribed way. Okay, you guys, closing out Leviticus 10, let's go ahead and look at verses 4 through 7. I call these post-perspective passages. We focused on the first three verses today, but let's see what happens after Aaron remains silent. Verse 4 says, Moses summoned Mishael and Elzaphan, sons of Aaron's uncle Uziel, and said to them, come here, carry your cousins outside the camp, away from the front of the sanctuary. So they came and carried them, still in their tunics, outside the camp as Moses ordered. That's verses 4 and 5. And then verses 6 and 7 say this, then Moses said to Aaron and his sons, Eleazar and Ithamar, do not let your hair become unkempt and do not tear your clothes or you will die and the Lord will be angry with the whole community, but your relatives, all the Israelites, may mourn for those the Lord has destroyed by fire. Do not leave the entrance to the tent of meetings or you will die, because the Lord's anointing oil is on you. So they did as Moses said. He said, listen, you two remaining sons. First of all, he said, hey, y'all, come get your mans. Come get your cousins. Come carry the bodies out. Moses was ready to do what God told him to do. He didn't flinch at all. Hey, come get your cousins and carry these bodies out. And then he told the Aaron and his sons, don't cry. Don't do any mourning. None of the symbols of mourning. The rest of the Israelites can mourn, but you have God's anointing oil on you, and you will die if you don't do what a holy God says you to do. Why? Because you've been consecrated. You've been set apart for his purposes. You have to make sure that you are in line with the anointing. Something went really awfully wrong with the anointing of these other two sons. That's what we learned today about strange, unauthorized, and contrary fire before the Lord. With that lesson, let's close out right now and figure out a few things we can do to answer this question. How do you make sure you do not bring any strange fire into 2021? Here are the three things I want you to focus on in this new year. Okay, so really quickly, how do you make sure not to bring any strange fire into the year 2021? Well, I have three quick tips for you, and here they are. Number one, we have to remember that we, which includes you are part of a royal priesthood. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 says, but you are a chosen people, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, God's special possession, that you may declare the praises of him who called you out of darkness into his wonderful light. Now, what's happening here in 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9 is Peter is quoting, guess what? Exodus chapter 19, verses 5 through 6. You can research that on your own. But really quickly, we are a royal priesthood. Why? Because we are children of the King. Jesus is King of Kings. He's Lord of Lords. We've been called to be God's special possession through Jesus Christ. We are a holy nation set apart by God, a royal priesthood. We're like the 2021 Levites, y'all. We're the new Levites. We are set apart, called by God, his holy nation, his special possession. If we think like that, we're not going to be okay thinking like the rest of the world. Like, we're not going to justify the things we do that we know we shouldn't do because, well, this is logical or this is emotional or this is political. You know, the Republicans say this, Democrats say that. We're not going to think politically or socially or like this philosophical person. We're going to think like our Father in heaven. We're going to say, wait a minute, I can't justify that. I can't move like that because I am part of a royal priesthood. If we think like that, we're going to avoid bringing strange fire into the year 2021, which is our goal, right? Number two, we got to make sure our actions are authorized by God. Remember, strange fire, as stated in the King James Version, is translated in other versions not as strange, but as unauthorized, right? Unauthorized fire, fire that I did not authorize you to bring. So we got to make sure we don't perform actions in the year 2021 that are not authorized by God. Now, how do you know what's authorized by God? The simple answer is you study and stay in His word, right? The two sons of Aaron, God's word told them exactly what to do and also exactly what not to do, but they went against, the opposite, contrary to God's word, and they did something that was not authorized. So we got to say, you know what? I'm going to stay in God's word. I am part of a royal priesthood. I am His special possession. I'm going to do actions that are authorized by God's word. I don't want to bring anything strange, profane, unworthy, unauthorized into 2021. My actions will be that which I know are authorized by God. And then finally, number three, we have to steer clear of what is contrary to God. Contrary means the opposite of God. Now, unauthorized by God is one thing, but contrary to God is another whole level of you don't do that, all right? Don't go the opposite way of God though, right? And to be clear, that means minding your own business in 2021. We don't try to stop people who are going the opposite way of God. We've learned that from Psalms 1, right? The very first Psalm, it says, "Bless the man who walks what? Not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, because his delight is in the law of the Lord, and his law he meditates day and night. We're too busy focusing on the word of God being authorized. We don't have time to try to stop people or stand in the way of people who may be going contrary to God's way. Our job is not to go contrary. Steer clear of what is contrary of God. Now, if we do these three things, right? If we say, you know what? I'm going to remember that I am part of a royal priesthood. I'm going to remember to make sure my actions are authorized by God. I'm going to remember to steer clear of what is contrary to God. When we do that, we can say, you know what? I'm going to stand with our supernatural God. I'm going to be able to avoid what is unauthorized in 2021. I'm going to steer clear of the contrary in 2021. I'm going to stay away from the strange and make sure that we are safe in the year 2021. And if you do that, you're going to be safe. But if you don't do that, if you do what's unauthorized, if you do what's contrary in this new year 2021, I feel like you're going to be saying,
I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire. I fell into a burning ring of fire. I went down, 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 and the flames went higher. And it burns, 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 the ring of fire, the ring of fire.
You have been listening to another Bible study episode on the Preacher Man Milo podcast. And in a moment, Milo is going to close out with prayer and final thoughts. Now, if you liked this episode, it would be a good idea to hit the subscribe button so you don't miss the next one. Thanks for listening. Now, here is Pastor Milo to close us out in prayer.
God, we love you, we praise you, and we aim as a family to stay focused on what is authorized by your word and to steer clear from that which is contrary to your word. Father God, we just praise you and thank you for your word. We love you and we fellowship as a family in that name that is above every name, Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. All right, you guys, that's the end of the study. We are now kicking off 2021 with the right attitude, right? Avoiding bringing strange fire with us. As far as homework goes, I want you to read Exodus 3 and Exodus 4, at least all the way up to verse 14, and go ahead and read Exodus 30 and Leviticus 10. Just see what the Holy Spirit reveals to you as you're spending alone time with God, reading His holy word. Remember, that's how we move in a way that's authorized by Him and not contrary to Him. All right, you guys, until next time, I want you to go with God and make it a happy day. In Jesus' name.